This message from God's Word is being brought to you by Brother Casey Crawford at the Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. He brings us this lesson entitled, Rise Up. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 10 and verse 47. And now, Brother Crawford.
Thank you, Nolan, for reading that scripture. As you guys can see, we're going to talk a little bit about Bartimaeus this morning. Before we jump into that, I told you I had one question, one tough question that I wanted to ask you all, and I need you to be very honest with me. That question simply is, how many of you sitting in here today screen your calls? What I mean by that, if you don't understand that, how many of you take a look at your phone when someone is calling, figure out who it is, and then decide, no thank you. I don't want to talk to you right now. Go ahead. Let's see them. Hands. Those of you that aren't raising your hands either don't have a cell phone or you're lying, and I will see you down here later. But I ask that. Absolutely, I'll raise my hand. I do it all the time. Now, I don't do it because I'm trying to be mean all the time. Sometimes I am in the middle of something, or I'm busy with something else, or I don't have a hand to answer the cell phone call, so I can't pick up. Now, if it's Joanne calling me, I usually just don't answer anyway. But listen, she does the same thing to me. It's not normal for a pregnant woman to nap that much. I'm kidding. But we all do it. We're all guilty of it. We screen phone calls, whether it be for a good reason or not so good reason. Most of the time, I would like to think that we don't look at those calls because we're busy. We're focused on something else, and if we try and answer a phone call, then you're going to be, halfway on both things. You're going to mess up whatever you're doing over here, and you're not even going to know what you're saying to the person on the phone. So we tend to, screen those calls. Let's see if this will work for me today. All right, step one. This is the option that we are given now when someone is sending us a phone call. If somebody is calling us, we have about four options to choose from up here. And one of those options says to that person, I want to talk to you. One of those options is the decision to answer the phone call. And that's plain and simple, answer, right down here at the bottom right. We have a 25% choice on saying yes to this phone call. The rest of them are no thank yous. One over here is you can send that person a message and you can tell them, hey, a little busy right now. I had one saved for a while when I was living in Montgomery and my mom did not understand the time difference right at the same time. We were usually in church at the same time some days, but some days we were not. And so mom would call me about the time we're singing the invitation song. So I had one that was saved in church. You'd think I wouldn't have to send that one a whole lot, but I did. But we have, different messages. Hey, a little busy right now. Can I call you later? Or we have the option to not even acknowledge the person and just ask my phone, hey, you know what? Remind me to call this person back. I'll get back with them. Then we have the ever so dreaded, I don't want to talk to you at all. Not today, not tomorrow. Pushing the big red button, declining it all together. So we have, out of four options that we can make the choice on our phone as to whether or not we want to speak with this person, really one and a half says, yes, I want to talk to you. Yes, I want to answer this call. And then the other, two and a half say, I don't really feel like talking to you right now. I want to think about, this was a call that we get all the time. We get phone calls from all kinds of people we know, people we don't know. Bartimaeus received a call from Jesus. Bartimaeus received a call from the Lord himself. And we're going to look at, some of the things that Bartimaeus did in order to answer that call. He didn't have the option to, send Jesus a message, hey, let me get back with you on that one. But let's go back to the scriptures, and I want to start back at verse 46. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, Call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, Take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up, came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. You see, Bartimaeus is sitting on the road as he does just about every day, and he is calling out, he is needing help, can't see a thing, he's a beggar by trade. And the Lord, Jesus of Nazareth, is coming through, and when he knows that, he begins to cry out. And he hears all these negative voices, people telling him, Hush, be quiet, do you know who is coming through? Or they're probably just telling him to be quiet because they don't want to listen to him anymore. But he keeps crying out all the more. He doesn't let up. He continues to cry out. And when the Lord passes by, he makes the call. And he tells him, call him. Jesus has extended a call out to Bartimaeus. He extends a call and lets him know, hey, I'm here to call you today. And Bartimaeus' reaction when he finds out that the Lord has made that call, when they tell him, hey, you need to get up and go now, he doesn't just sit there. He doesn't wait around a few minutes. He throws off his cloak. The ESV version says he sprang up and went to Jesus. He rose. You see, that's the decision that we need to make. We don't need to hesitate. We don't need to sit there for a few more minutes. We have got to get up. We have got to rise up and take that call. That's the lesson that we learn from Bartimaeus. And I want to dive in just a little bit, and I want you to see exactly what that call is that we are receiving from the Lord. You see, Jesus called him on a roadside, but he also, you know, called to him. He called to him to do the same thing as us. I've already missed a few of my PowerPoint slides, so I'm going to go right through here. But Jesus called out to Bartimaeus, and again, Bartimaeus didn't ignore. No, he didn't have the three other options to say, no, thank you, I don't want to talk to you right now. Hey, can I get back with you on that? But he says to him, I'm coming. He throws off his cloak, and immediately, he doesn't ignore the call of the Lord. He goes straight to him. You see, we're receiving that same exact call. There's a lot of similarities that we can draw from us and Bartimaeus. Jesus called us to do a couple of different things. The first thing that he called us to do, he called us to rise above the world. Bartimaeus' friends were kind of negative, or excuse me, those surrounding Bartimaeus, I wouldn't necessarily call them friends if they were rebuking him, but they were kind of negative to him at first when he was calling out for the Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. They were telling him to be quiet. They were telling him to hush. Again, it could have been because, you know, they knew the Lord was coming and they didn't want to disturb him, or it could have just been because they didn't want to listen to it anymore. But when the Lord spoke and when the Lord called Bartimaeus, that's when they turned to him and they said, you need to get up and go. You need to rise and go answer that call because he's calling you. Church, we're being told the same thing. We have plenty of negative voices surrounding us. We have plenty of things that are being pushed on our shoulders to keep us away from that. But when the Lord calls, we've got to answer. When the Lord calls, we've got to go to him. We know that we are being given the same message as Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is blind, and in the same sense, so are we. We get blinded all the time by different things that are weighing us down. So when the Lord calls us, we don't need to hesitate. We don't need to push decline. We've got to do exactly like he did and rise up and hear that call. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12 says, We exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. There it is, black and white. We need to walk in a manner worthy of God, a God who does what? A God who calls us. So to say that we're not being called is, it's just a lie. It's not true. It's a false statement. We are being called each and every day by the Lord to walk in a manner that's worthy of him. So we don't need to ignore this call. We don't need to stay sitting down. We don't need to remain a blind beggar. We have got to get up. We've got to do exactly what the Lord tells us to do. We've got to rise. See if I'm working up there. Doesn't look like it. Let's move on. There's supposed to be a picture up there of a man by the name of Sir John Franklin. For those of you that don't know who Sir John Franklin is, he was the leader of an expedition to help find the Northwest Passage. I may have clicked it off. Eric, you got me back there. Thank you, sir. He was helping find the Northwest Passage or find a Northwest Passage, and he led his through the Arctic Ocean. Mistake number one. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there. But as we continue to read his story, in 1845, he sailed from England to find a passage across the Arctic Ocean. The crew loaded their two sailing ships with, frankly, a lot of things they didn't need. Now, one of those things was, you know, provisions, different things that they needed to eat. But I wanted to read off the provisions that I found last night. 32,000 pounds, roughly, of preserved meat, 1,000 pounds of raisins, and 600 gallons of pickles. Yum. Very well-balanced diet that these men had. But what that did was it left room for them to bring a lot of things that they didn't necessarily need on this. A 1,200-volume library, fine china, crystal goblets, and sterling silverware for each officer with his initials engraved on the handles. Amazingly, each ship took only a 12-day supply of coal for their auxiliary steam engines. The ships became trapped in vast frozen plains of ice. After several months, Lord Franklin died. The men decided to trek to safety in small groups, but none of them survived. One story that was pretty rough to read was that two officers pulled a large sled more than 65 miles across the treacherous ice. And when rescuers found their bodies, they discovered that the sled was filled with table silver. These two men were dragging this for 65 miles, and all it was when they were found was table silver. They were weighing themselves down with things they didn't need. All those fancy little silverwares with their initials on it. Come on, guys. You can make that again. But what they did was they let themselves get bogged down with the things that really just don't matter. How many times do we do that today? How many times do we spend too much time listening to the negative voices or taking with us the things that, when it's all said and done, it just doesn't matter? And we let those things get in the way of our walk with Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, we have to take all of that is weighing us down, all these things that don't matter, all the sin, every weight of it, and throw it off. You see, Bartimaeus heard the negative voices that were telling him to be quiet and hushing him, and he cried out all the more. He didn't listen. He kept getting louder and louder and louder. And at the same time, when they finally told him, "You need to rise and go meet Jesus," he got rid of even more of it. He took off his cloak and he sprang up and he went to meet him. And so when we see this example of Bartimaeus, who is blind and is laying there and he's calling out, and when the Lord calls back to him and he finds out, he puts everything else behind him. He takes everything else away and he's on a beeline for the Lord. That's how we have to be. We have to rise above this world, all the negativity, all of the weight that's on our shoulders, all of the sin that is in our lives. We have to put it away and we have to go and meet the Lord. Don't waste your time being held back by the things that don't matter. If it's a relationship that is holding you back, get rid of it. If it's an addiction, seek some help. If it's anger or jealousy or greed or envy, take some time to clear your thoughts and start counting the blessings that you have. Get rid of anything that is going to keep you from the Lord and rise. Rise up and go talk to Him. Eric, if you'll hit the next slide. The next way that we're being called from a cross. While Bartimaeus was being met on the road, we received a call from the cross. And that cross is something that we see each and every day as we're here. That cross is something it's a symbol to us. And we know that each and every day that we look at it, each and every time that we see it, we hear about it, we read about it, it's a call for us to answer. I read this verse a little bit earlier, 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. For the love of Christ compels us because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. You see, there's the call right there. There's the call that we are given. The love of Christ compels us. I love the way that it says that right there, because His call is a call that is compelling us. There's a song that I used to sing all the time, and I don't want to say that I annoyed Jalan with it, but I annoyed Jalan with it because when a song gets stuck in my head, I sing it over and over. But if there's ever a song that I would want to, I guarantee you I think she'd be okay with this one a few hundred more times. But it's called How Can You Say No? I want to read with you just the verses that I think about all the time, if my phone will not act up with me. Having a good time with technology this morning. Thorns on his head and a spear in his side, and yet it was a heartache that made him cry. He gave his life so you would understand. Is there any way you could say no to this man? If Christ Himself were standing here, His face full of glory and His eyes full of tears, and He held out His arms with His nail-printed hands, is there any way you can say no to this man? How could you look in His tear-stained eyes, knowing it's you that He's thinking of? Would you tell Him you're not ready to give Him your life? Would you say that you don't think you need His love? Jesus is here with His arms open wide, and you can see Him with your hearts if you'll stop looking with your eyes. He's left it up to you. He's done all that He can. Is there any way you could say no to this man? Again, how could you look in His tear-stained eyes knowing it's you He's thinking of? Would you tell Him you're not ready to give Him your life? Would you say that you don't think you need His love? Thorns on His head, and your life is in His hands. Is there any way you can say no to this man? I read those words over and over to myself on a regular basis. It's one of my favorite songs ever, I would say. And I read it over and over because I don't choose to read it as a matter of how can you say no, or you know, how will I say no. It's a matter of, is it even possible for you to say no? You see, the call that we receive from the cross is a compelling one. The call that we receive from the cross is one that if you truly let it sink into your mind and your heart, there is no way that you can say no. And church, that's how we have to hear it. That's how we have to listen to it. We have to read the words that we see, the things that Jesus did for us before and during the time of His crucifixion, all of the things that He went through for us. And He wanted to. He wanted so badly for all of us to be safe with Him. He wanted so badly for us to be saved. I don't think He would have done what He did for anything less. And so, again, we are called. We receive this call to rise above the world. We receive this call from a cross. So the last thing that we're sitting here for, the last thing that we have to do is make an answer. See, the Lord is simply waiting for us to make an answer. Jesus did His part for Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus has cried out to Him, and as Jesus passed, He turned and He says, call him. And they let him know. They let him know that the Lord is calling for you. The Lord is wanting you to come and meet him. And again, I ask you, did Bartimaeus just sit there? Did he tell him to hang on for just a second? Or did he just decline it altogether and say, you know what, on second thought, I don't think I need that. No, not at all. Bartimaeus knew that the one man, that the one being that could give him exactly what he needed was walking right past him. And so he got up, he rose, and he answered the call. And I have to think about one thing in particular. Bartimaeus was blind. Obviously, he could not see. How did he get there? How did he get to Jesus? Well, I imagine that it's possible that someone walked him over there. Someone led him to the Lord. Or it could just be a matter that he followed Jesus' voice. Or he just knew exactly where he was. One way or the other, he got there. One way or the other, the Lord and Bartimaeus met. Bartimaeus rose up and he was taken somehow to the Lord. He was compelled to go and meet him. Let me read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Bartimaeus didn't take very long to answer the Lord's call. Neither should we. I told you there are a lot of similarities that we can draw from ourselves and this blind beggar, but there are also a lot of things that we can learn from him. I imagine that his 40 time would have been extremely fast on that day. And the same thing needs to go for us. You see, the Lord is patiently waiting for us. He is patiently waiting for us to answer this call. But that doesn't mean that he wants us to take all the time in the world. That doesn't mean we need to sit around and just keep sending him messages saying, hey, give me just a minute, I'm busy right now. That doesn't mean we need to keep screening his calls. That doesn't mean we need to just put the phone down. We have got to answer the call because, again, we read, not wishing that any should perish. The Lord doesn't want any of us to perish. The Lord does not want any of us to not answer the call. If that were the case, if he didn't care about what happened to us, then he wouldn't have sent his one and only son to die for each and every one of us. He wouldn't have sent his only son to save us. So he sends out a call, this call from the cross, the call to rise above the world and meet him. And now it's up to us. Now we have to answer. And church, he's waiting patiently, but as we know, we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know that tomorrow is going to come. So I ask you one question. Why are you here? How did you get here? Why did you come today? Maybe it's possible that somebody brought you here. Somebody led you to be here today. It could just be possible that you woke up this weekend and you decided, you know what? I'm not going to go to church this Sunday. I'm going to talk to the Lord. I'm going to be there. I'm going to answer that call. I don't know exactly how you got here. I don't know exactly why you're here, but I do know who called you to be here. And that's Jesus. You see, the reason that you're here today is because you were called. The reason that you're here today is because the Lord is working on your heart. And he has put you in the pew today. The reason that you do the will of the Lord is because you have been compelled to do so. You have heard what he has done for us. And there was no way you could not answer that call. So I ask you again, why are you here today? Are you here today to renew your zeal for God? Are you here today to take the step and say, I've been screening your calls for a long time, God. I've been hitting decline. I've been telling my phone to remind me and then maybe not paying attention. Are you here to pick up today? Maybe you're here and you've decided, you know what? I'm going to take the call and I'm going to become a child of His. I'm going to become a part of this body and start answering that call a whole lot more often. Eric, if you'll hit the last slide up here. Here's your choice. I ask you again, why are you here? What brought you here today? You've got four options up there. But truthfully, you have two. We either answer the call and we rise up to meet our Lord, or we decline. I hope that you are here this morning to answer that call, and I hope that you are here this morning to do exactly as we saw Bartimaeus do, to tear off everything that was holding him back, to get rid of everything that was weighing us down, and to rise up and sprint to the Lord. If there be anything we can do for you this morning, please come now as we stand and as we sing.
This message has been brought to you by the Scenic Hills Church of Christ in Pensacola, Florida. For questions, comments, prayers, or Bible study, please call, mail, or email us, or visit us on the internet at scenichillschurchofchrist.org. God bless.